When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi there, welcome to This Is Ibrox on Sunday the 21st of April. This is your Sunday session. My name is Scott Patterson. If you're taking time out on your Sunday night to join us across our YouTube and or our Facebook channels tonight, then obviously we thank you very much for that. Don't forget we're available right across the social media, guys. Twitter, X, whatever they're calling it now, Facebook and Instagram, search This Is Ibrox and find us and follow us. If you're watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to like and subscribe, leave a comment if you like. If you're already a subscriber, please spread the word, make sure everyone knows who we are, where we are and what we do. Make sure you can help us grow between now and the end of the season, which is getting very, very, very close now. My name's Scott Patterson, you recognise me from the Standard Sunday Nights. Joining me on the podcast this week, we will go with the man, well, looks, he's on my left-hand side, Rhys. Hi, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Scott, thanks. Even better after today's result, so glad to be on.
Yes, absolutely. And Tommy, the gaffer, joins us. Hi, Tommy, how are you, bud?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Nice to have some good news to discuss, actually, after the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so it has been a fairly testing couple of weeks, I think. Celtic, Ross County and Dundee, three horrible games, I think, to be perfectly honest with you, for a variety of different reasons. None of them were horrible for the same reason, if that makes sense. Rhys, I'll start with you first. We obviously go into this Scottish Cup semi-final today. We've seen what happened yesterday at Hampden. So we knew what we were going to be potentially letting ourselves in for the very last sort of competitive match of the season. Before of any of the team news was announced, Rhys, where was your head going into this tie? It was always going to be tricky, I felt, today.
I think we seem to have a decent record against Hearts. I think whether it's been at Tynecastle or Ibrox, we seem to do all right. I know there was the narrow scrape at Ibrox in the 2-1 game when Danilo scored in the last kick of the ball just about, but I always fancied this. I thought 3-1, to be honest with you, to begin with. I thought 3-1, but the players had to get out and put on a performance today. They had to put a statement down, and that's what I was looking for. It's probably in line with most Rangers fans, what I expected, and happily that was what we got.
Tommy, same question to you. I mean, Hearts traditionally is always a difficult tie. It was quite clear today. The carrot comes sort of quarter to five this afternoon would have been really nice for us to have sort of Rangers are into another cup final this season.
Yeah, I think traditionally they are, but maybe with Hearts, they're traditionally difficult at Tynecastle. Yeah. I'm sure somebody could run the stats book for me and tell me how many times they've picked up points at Ibrox and what our semi-final and final record against them is. But yeah, I mean, after the last couple of weeks, they felt that they could get something. And then, you know, we'll get into it. But for us, it was all about just getting the job done. You know, we couldn't have 3 weeks on the bounce where we've had absolute negativity. So it's good to be able to look at away now and say, right, that's a cup final to look forward to on the last day of the football calendar for us. Now get back to the work in hand, which is league duty.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Paul, who is just Paul McCoracle. Today wasn't going to be amazing. It was all about getting back to playing steady and keeping it tight, which I think is absolutely right, particularly at the back, which takes me nicely dovetailing into the big news, which broke. I heard a whisper about this before the match started, and it was that Conor Goldson hadn't been selected to play this afternoon, Tommy. Tommy, I'll start with you on this one. I think this was and I think I'm going to probably steal what Reese is going to say, but I'll give you the opportunity to do it officially. This was a big move by Philippe Clement today. We've heard loads and we've read loads since the Celtic game about guys that are undroppable. You can't drop Tavernier, you can't drop Lundstrom, you can't drop Goldson. He's dropped the latter today, rested the latter, we should probably say, I think, is the official line on it. I think there's an argument that it was time for that change to happen this afternoon. Big call in a semi-final or cup final, however.
It's a huge call. It's a big statement call from the manager. You know, Goldson has been one of those undroppables, for want of a better phrase, that everybody likes to kind of use. And, yeah, he took a gamble and he said, listen, I'm going to go with Balogun on this one. Your form's not been good enough. You know, whether it's a statement of Conor Goldson has moved out at the end of the season or not, I'm not entirely sure. But it's a shot across the bows of your form has not been good enough. Nobody in the side is undroppable. You know, the problem is we don't have tons of bodies to go in against it, but which is driving some of the selection process for Philippe Clement at the moment. But ultimately it worked. I mean, we're talking about a semi-final clean sheet, you know, up against one of the best performing strikers in the domestic scene this season in Lauren Shankland. And yeah, they had chances. I'm not going to go past that. You know what I mean? Jack Butland's, we'll get into it later on. Jack Butland's pulled us out of the fire a couple of times today with some really big saves as pair. But ultimately, I thought Leon Balogun was pretty decent when he came in. Not entirely sure why Heaven Suter didn't play on different sides of the centre-back pairing, but that's a different question. And Conor Olsen wasn't naturally missed. And yeah. There you go. The gamble's paid off for the gaffer.
Reese, were you a bit surprised that, and I think Tom makes a great point, and I can picture John Walker sort of kicking his TV at home when he realised that John Suter was still going to be playing as the left-sided centre-back. I actually wondered at the time when I saw when Balogun came in to play as the right-sided centre-back, I actually wonder if that was more for the benefit of James Tavernier, just having someone a bit more experienced playing inside him as opposed to, and it's not a slant on John Suter per se, but it just gives Tav someone a bit more experience playing inside of him. So, I mean, come to that later, Reese, but initially, were you surprised that Goldson did drop out today?
I was shocked. I think the one word that I kept seeing everywhere was wow. Was that it had been mentioned everywhere, but everyone thought, wow, hold on, he's done it. It's a bit like you ask for something and you don't realise that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Tommy's right, statement is exactly what it was. I think I feared personally, and it's the same fear I had when he dropped Cantwell earlier in the season. Not dropped, sorry, when he took him off after half an hour. I thought, you could lose that player there, you could ostracise him. And as I said to you guys off air just before we came on, in the same way that Steven Gerrard went down to Aston Villa, dropped Tyrone Mings, lost the dressing room, was booted out the door a few months later, I initially feared that for Philippe Clement if Conor Goldson didn't take it well. But difference being, Philippe Clement's got the results and the track record to back it up and say, my judgment's actually well proven here. So it does stand us in good stead because it's not, I think the longer it goes on, the more sort of taboo it becomes that you don't really drop Goldson, you don't drop Tavernier. So to have it done now, it kind of puts a marker down, but it didn't detract the result. So win-win situation.
Do you think, Reese, that he gives himself not a problem at all. It gives him if he did rest Conor Goldson today, and I think he said it post-match indeed on Premier Sports that he's felt that Conor Goldson's shown signs of tiredness in the last week or so, and I think he referred to his plan was to actually play Liam Balogun midweek at Dundee, and Balogun took on well, so I think it shows Clement's got cracking big balls if he's happy to drop Conor Goldson for a semi-final at Hamden and bring him in. I do wonder what he does next, however, because if Conor Goldson trains his buns off all week and looks really sharp and looks scunnered at not playing in a semi-final, it'll be interesting if he to see if he comes in for St Mirren at the weekend, which is the first of the last sort of batch of cup finals we have. Balogun was excellent today, Reece. I don't think he particularly deserves to be moved aside for Conor Goldson to come in this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's a kind of rock and a hard place you're stuck between, isn't it? It's whether such an influential player who you know he's going to come in and work harder in training, he's going to take that as a bit of a blow to his ego.
Yeah.
But nobody's put a foot wrong, so at what point do you put him back in? At what point does he start moaning and groaning about it? Is there that rotation there? Personally, I don't think it'll make much of a difference when we play St Mirren who plays at centre-half. I think all three of them are good enough to keep a clean sheet against St Mirren. Watch that go in jinxes now. But having said that, I would keep it as it is purely because you don't want it to look like it's a sort of one-and-done thing. If something's not broke, you don't fix it. I would keep it the way it was because I think they look pretty solid today.
Tommy, the criticality of... Sorry, you go.
No, I was going to say, on that... He's given Conor Goldson a headache. That's the point. And I think Reece nails it there as well. It's a case of saying, right, I've taken you out, whatever the speak is and the coverage, right? I need a rest or whatever, right? Probably not going to rest one of your most influential centre-back for a semi-final, right? So we all know that's a bit of coverage. But it is now a gauntlet thrown back down to Conor Goldson. Nobody's guaranteed the jersey. You're not guaranteed the jersey. Show me that you're up for the fight. Showing me that your ego doesn't get in the way, that you will come back into training, you will work really hard. And behind the scenes, you're hoping that Conor Goldson has reflected on it and went, my form has been poor. And so I've been dropped for a reason, right? And now it's about fighting my way back into it. And again, you know, much like a lot of the players in the squad, they should all be thinking about what the club's going to do with them come the summer. And so that's maybe the wider challenge that's been thrown down. And you're hoping some of the other, in italics, core senior leader group are also looking at it and going, well, if Conor can be dropped, anybody can be dropped at the end of the season. And that's probably the bigger part of the conversation here as opposed to game by game. It's the what happens at the end of the season with that group that, by and large, haven't been able to deliver consistently over the last couple of seasons and that everybody's talking about in the fan base.
You know, one thing I think it's almost unfair not to cover. The headline is clearly around Conor Goldson not playing. Cubby, who's a regular watcher of us on a Sunday night, a great decision by not playing Goldson. But the key part of his statement and the key thing that I think is really important that the Rangers fans don't drop by, Liam Balogun was absolutely excellent today, particularly second half. He gave a bit of steadiness, I think, when we needed it. He was bringing the ball out of defence when we needed it. And there was just a bit of calm that I think he said. We put across our This Ibrox Twitter channels tonight whether anyone would give him a new contract. And I think everyone largely expects, because he's not played a lot of football in the last wee while, that he'll be one of the first ones to disappear come the summer. Tommy, Balogun strikes me as a big personality, and we refer to leaders being in and around the squad. He's definitely one of them. You probably have that situation now. Is he's a little bit older? Do you give him a new contract? Does it stifle maybe the development of a, dare I say, a Leon King, for example? How does it affect their development? Yeah.
It's a really good debate. Just before that, I'm looking at Kenneth Penman's message there from Vancouver Island, and welcome, Kenny. He'll no doubt message back in there saying, I don't like the name Kenny. Always call me Kenneth, right? Because that's something I have to. But, and I don't know, maybe it's one for the listeners here in the chat. I think it was Roddy earlier on was saying he was down in Scarborough. What's more attractive? Is it Scarborough or is it Vancouver Island? I'm not entirely sure what's more glamorous at this point in time. Maybe the guys can talk that one out. I don't know what the seagulls are like in Vancouver Island, but there we go. But yeah, listen, I think if you're looking at it and you're saying, we all know that the squad needs surgery again, right? I'm really sick and tired of saying that every single season, right?
Yeah.
It needs surgery again in the pre-season, right? Liam Balogun on a one-year contract where he can pitch in and out. He is decent around the dressing room, good trainer, keeps himself, you know, relatively quiet. You don't get any bad stories about him. Relatively low cost base. You know, is he one for the squad where you're saying to him quite clearly, listen, Leon, you're going to be bit part, right? I think he already knows that anyway. So you're not going to get any of that ego stuff. I expect to play 20 games a season or anything like that. If the numbers work, yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't give him a 1-year jersey and say, right, be round about the squad, help people like Leon King, work with them in the background as well, talk to them, show them how, you know, all that type of good stuff. It's a bit of a no-brainer, which allows you to then spend more of your money on other places when you look ahead to the next 12 months and stuff like that as well. So I like Leon Balogun. I like the fact that he is a pretty competent and classy defender, and he's, you know, just quietly able to fill in a jersey. So, yeah, if the numbers work for me, I would definitely hand him a 1-year jersey.
I think it's particularly impressive that he can come in after playing such little football recently. Now, if he was going to play on Wednesday, it would have been exactly the same. He would have arrived after playing very little football, and he's playing in a key position. And like it or not, I think Conor Goldson's form this season has been really quite poor. But he would be replacing someone who is seen as a pillar, to use a Clement term, of our sort of starting lineup, and has been for the last 4 or 5 seasons. So Conor Goldson is big boots to replace, and I think that Balogun done it very well today. Libby Montgomery, who's watching on Facebook, hi Libby. Balogun, to me, has shown he should be starting every week if possible. He's been outstanding in defence today. I think that's fair. I think he's got the jersey now, it'll be interesting.
Sorry, just on that, apologies to interrupt there, Scott. And again, it just breaks into two separate conversations, right? Which is, Leon Balogun can step in, for example, today, and he'll do a fine job. Leon Balogun is not the long-term answer, given his age, etc. So people should then reflect on, do they want Conor Goldson as the main centre-back next season?
Yeah.
Does he still have the confidence of the support? Is he still up for it? Does he still have the form? Or are we saying that, actually, as we look ahead to it, Balogun would, you know, fill a jersey round about the squad for you, Conor Goldson goes, you're left with Suter, and then, you know, obviously you go down and King and stuff like that as well. You're going to have to spend some decent money in there because we need a new centre-back pairing, or do you try something different with the likes of, maybe Sterling or something like that? I definitely don't think that's the way forward. But, yeah, there's a question there about what's the long-term viability of Conor Goldson in the Rangers squad.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Gene McManus, who's watching us on Facebook, Goldson has been poor, so has some of the other players. I think it opens up a real interesting debate, because there has been other players who have been poor in a similar fashion to Conor Goldson. One or two of them played today. I have to say one or two of them. We spoke about John Lundstrom very recently, whether he's been good, bad, and different, whether you think he should get a new contract or not, is not the debate for this statement. He was good today. I thought him and Dio Mandy were excellent in the middle of the park, and deserve a bit of credit for that. Scott Kearney fires in with Dessers 2, Shanklin 0, which we'll come back to. Let's speak about Cyril Dessers-Rees. Rangers started well on the front foot, looked really, really dangerous, I felt, for the first sort of 4, 5, 6 minutes, of course, and that period of time they went 1-0 up. Great tenacity by the captain, and that's, again, something we've not said a lot of in the last wee while. Does well to win the ball in a pretty dangerous area after a foul initially. Campwell collects it and plays it into Dessers, who shows a really good bit of composure. A turn on Nathan Atkinson to fire under Craig Gordon, who was in the sticks for Hearts today. You and I can speak about our Dessers silver bet, and we'll probably do that before I send you away home tonight. He continues to... Now, Dessers gets slaughtered here back and forward for a variety of different reasons. He continues to have his moments every so often. 19th goal of the season for Rangers today. I think if you go back to the start of the season and your strikers come in and you say, if Cyril Dessers could have 19 goals going into the last sort of 5 games of the season, 5 league games of the season, you would take it, wouldn't you? And I think for Rangers number 9, you would, for a guy that's not played in the country before, Reece.
Probably, yeah. I think I vaguely remember saying that neither Dessers or Lammers would hit more than 15. So you're right in saying that you would take the 19. 100% yep. You would. I think he's come on to a game, but it's a bit... With Dessers, for me, it's a bit like a broken clock's right twice a day. I mean, he gets all of these chances, he's bound to put one in. Surely one of them's going to go in, and yep, he does. His footwork for the goal itself is excellent. But even the one before, when the cross comes in, it must have been about the 3rd minute, and he volleys it just over the bar.
I mean,
you've got to be clinical there. And off the back of Ross County and Dundee, I think all of, and I think this is the squad's problem as a whole, rather than just Saru Dessels, but it applies to him as well. He's got ability, but he's not got consistency. And that's what lacks for Dessels for me. But two goals in a semi-final, the day's not the day to be slagging Saru Dessels.
Well said, that man. I completely agree with you. And I actually forgot about the chance that the chance that he misses before the goal that he scores. And Ali McCoist was doing co-coms on Premier Sports, and you could, as he tried to describe it in his own sensible way, you could hear him through his teeth, Tommy, be horrified that he's not kind of tried to throw himself in there or just sort of take more of a chance than maybe what he's had so far. Reece, you're on twice, I'm not entirely sure, so I'll kick you out there. It was really strange that he missed that chance when it looked, just from the angle, it looked almost like it was easier to even hit the target. It was really surprising.
I think I've been thrown by the two Reeces that were on my screen there. That's the stuff of nightmares, I have to say, for no doubt everybody involved. But yeah, actually, it was the one after for me where he had the chance of a hat trick.
Yeah,
and he's got no. It's a really good example. I'm with Reece, right? Your number nine turns up, big pitch at Hampden, semi-final, bit of pressure given what's happened the last two games going into it, and your number nine scores two goals, gets you into the final, right? Definitely not the day to be picking on Saru Dessels. The story's always the same with him. He can take chances. It takes a few. He misses. Sometimes it feels like the easier ones. You don't always feel that he's clinical or predatory or that he's dangerous. And, you know, that's the problem. But today, he's asked to do a job, led the line, worked his socks off, as he often does. And I think Philippe Clement referred to that in the press conference afterwards, saying, you know, he always shows up on and off the ball and stuff like that. And he gets his goals. And the first one in particular. And that's the frustration with, like I said, I'm not slating him. The day is not the day for that. But that's the frustration, because you go, that's in there. He's got that calmness in the box and that ability to absolutely sell the defender and then put it away. And you go, just, I want to see more of that, please. More of that from you. And that's how he'll get everybody on side. But we're in the Scottish Cup final, thanks to Saru Dessels today. And so there you go. That's all you can ask your striker to do.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Cubby backs that up. Dexter's got us to the final of the Scottish Cup. Could have scored more today. And listen, I think in 3 or 4 weeks, the topic of many podcasts that you'll hear from Rangers will be how many goals should Saru Dessels should have scored over the course of the season. And we'll see just how important the goals that he's scored so far and anything he scores between now and mid-May will continue to be. Listen, Hearts did have their moments in the first half, Tommy. It wasn't just all about us. They had a couple of really good chances inside a minute. Jack Butland saves down low from Alan Forrest that he's near post, and he makes a really good save at point blank range from the chap Frankie Kent, who sounds like he should be on Love Island or something like that, to be perfectly honest with you. But he makes a really good save at point blank range, and I think he was offside in the end, to be perfectly honest with you. Jack Butland does not know that at all. And I just go back to something that I've said on here for a good wee while. I personally think Jack Butland is our player of the year by quite a distance. I think that speaks volumes about what we're looking at outfield this season and what we've looked at so far. His end of season highlight reel, Tommy, is going to be like something that we've not seen for a long time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very good goalkeeper. Everybody knows that. And I think you're probably right. Consistency over the season, he probably will be. Actually, that's, you know, it's a good story because your keeper's really good, makes those big moment saves. It's also a poor story as well because you want your keeper to be nondescript and never worked. You know, you want his gloves to be in mint condition come the end of the season. But unfortunately, you know, he's had to be working. I think he'd trade every single good performance for a league title, to be honest with you, and I'm sure we all would as well. But yeah, listen, in the big, we spoke about this, you know, previously when Philippe Clement was talking about big players and big moments. We often think about people scoring goals, you know, Cyril Dessers and all that, but you need your goalkeeper to be big and strong and come up with moments that define games. And he's taking the pressure off us by helping us keep that clean sheet by making, I think, maybe three really, really good stops. And you're right, that one point blank range was definitely offside. The guys went way too early. But as you say, he doesn't know that. He spreads himself, he gets the save in. And that's all you can ask. You know, when your keeper needs to come in at a club like Rangers, it is always about the, you're not going to be worked making 40 saves a game or something like that. It's in the big moments, once, twice, three times a game, where you need to be on point and save that, because that's where you're judged as a Rangers goalkeeper. Not on, you know, oh yeah, he let in three, but he saved five. That's not how it works at a club the size of us. And so, yeah, he does what he does, which is really big saves and kept us with a clean sheet and made it a less tight or nervous affair than it could have been, or less pressurised by not conceding or not staying at one each or whatever. And that's what you need. Nice one.
Reece, notable absence from the last couple of weeks and maybe just a bit of, almost a bit of calmness in the centre of the park alongside John Lundstrom has been Mo Diamande. We know he broke his thumb against Celtic. He was excellent today. Loads of nice wee passes, bit of aggression, bit of offensive nature when he had to be. He's a good foil for John Lundstrom, I think. I remember speaking to John Walker on this podcast and he was really, really impressed that we'd managed to get someone in of Diamandi's calibre, his potential to use. And I think Philippe Clement said post-match today that he doesn't think Rangers will be his last stop, I think was what he actually said. Based on performances like today, big game, semi-final, big pitch, he was really comfortable. And you could see that we've missed him, sort of Ross County and Dundee, 100%.
Yeah, definitely. He's just something different in the middle of the park. He's energetic. What I like about him is, and I don't know whether it goes that often noticed, he just seems to find like 5 yards in the middle of the park. Just seems to just find wee gaps everywhere in the middle of the park just to receive a pass. You'll turn, pass it to the other side, you're shifting your opponent up, put across, and he just seems to do really well in that midfield. And I think Diamandi's one of the players that, if we had a full 11 of Diamandi's quality, we'd be in a really good position. Yeah. And I think that's how we need to start kind of using as a barometer for the 11. And to see him back today, it's good that he's back with the thumb. I know at first I thought it was a bit trivial that he's out for two games with a thumb. I thought strap it up and get him playing, but I suppose there's bigger issues to deal with at the minute.
Indeed, absolutely right. Listen, Scott Gennett, who's watching it on Facebook, has popped in with something. I don't know if this... I love the ultrasonic logo, by the way. Most clean sheets in Europe.
I'm going to pretend that I'm too young.
You know who ultrasonic is.
Somebody's going to mention Ultimate Buzz at some point as well. I read that in the history books.
of course you did, my friend, yes. That's I would like to know, I'm not doubting Scott, I have to say, but most clean sheets in Europe is a big old stat, to be honest,
He's 11th, Scott, 11th.
11th?
But that's in the world, so in Europe, it could be right. I'm trying to work out where all these clubs are. He's definitely right up there. Fair play. He's up
Listen,
there.
We're going multinational. Sid, who's joined us for a good few Sundays now, continues to come back. He's in Toronto. Hi, Sid. Thanks for tuning in. As always, you're welcome.
Got to get himself across to Vancouver Island. There's a meeting that those guys can have.
Absolutely. Listen, what I want to do is, Reece, I'm going to stay with you. Biggest chance of the afternoon today goes to Lord Shankland for Hearts. Critical part of the match. Rangers are leading 1-0. cross goes across the back post, and Shankland kind of, I don't want to say he kind of snatches at it. I think if he maybe had maybe a couple of seconds, I think he probably forces Butland in it, a save. He puts it into the near net. That would have brought it back to one each. And I think someone else had posted earlier on about it was the difference between having good strikers, because Dessers has obviously scored and Shankland hasn't today, which is just bragging rights, and it's just the way it is. If that goes in, one each, Shankland scoring against Rangers would give quite a bit of the support some ammunition to say, do you know what I mean, in January we should have went and signed him. And I can hear people saying now, people that I know who felt we probably should have taken a chance with him in January. I was actually quite glad he never scored against us today, because apart from the obvious reasons that it would have brought back to one each at that point, but I think it does generate a discussion that I think everyone now is pretty far past, potentially the player himself.
Definitely. I think it's in that exact same vein, it's why I almost hate every time Lewis Ferguson scores for Bologna. Everyone, oh, we should have signed them. I seen it earlier in the week, that, and I guarantee these guys won't be out the night. On Twitter the other day, I seen Lewis Mayo should have been kept and Balogun should never have been signed. Blah, blah, blah. Balogun goes and puts in a top performance today. Guarantee that rhetoric isn't going about Rangers Twitter. So it's good that that ammunition, as you say, just isn't given to them, because it will just go for miles. Before you know it, we'll be wanting whoever we've not signed back. And it's good that he's not scored, because albeit I think he's a great player, I like Lauren Shankland as a guy and as a player, that you just don't want your team to concede. And it gives more, I think, strength to that decision that Clement made to drop goals and that we kept a clean sheet. So I think even if you concede one, it's going to test your mentality, but two, it's a bit of a stick to poke you with as well.
Yeah. Tommy, do you know John?
But that's what I was laughing at. I was laughing at John. Yes, I am it's a Sunday night party animal. This is Horlicks, obviously.
You don't want to see the cup, aye.
hopefully it's not the cup lifting the cup that we're talking about come the end of the season, obviously. But aye, something to send me off to sleep later on when I get into my pyjamas and all that, you know what I mean? My house coat.
Listen, it was shortly after that chance that Shankland missed, the Rangers went 2-0 up. And I have to say, I felt the second half in particular, Todd Cantwell was excellent for Rangers this afternoon. Really, really good. He's clearly a player that we need to get a lot out of the next six games. Interesting to hear post-match, he referred to all the cup finals that have still to come between now and the end of the season. So he's aware of where he is, what's at stake, what he has to do. Collects the ball on the halfway line and just has the brains and the bravery to run with the ball, and he runs and he runs and he runs. And before you know it, he's went through a couple of guys and he's just on the edge of the 18-yarder, plays in Dessers. His first effort, decent save by Craig Gordon, you have to say. Dessers, at that point, when the ball comes back to him, does something similar that he'd done in the first half, and he kind of chops in his left-hand side, and it's another really tidy finish. It was all down to the bravery, as I say, Tommy, of Todd Cantwell to carry the ball and just give us that, probably at that point, the out that you would maybe expect from a number 10 at that point of the game, 13 minutes to go.
Yeah, definitely. I thought, and I agree with the comments in the chat, I thought Todd Cantwell was very good today. And you love to see him driving with the ball and showing that, and his calmness as he goes in between the defenders and then not, you know, just trying to get a shot away or anything like that, or just blasting it. He knows he's got the peripheral vision. He knows Dessers has come up with him, and he lays a lovely ball in that can be hit first time. I would say, yeah, it's a decent enough save. Could it have been a better attempt from Dessers? Yeah, maybe. But what I really like about Dessers as well is he doesn't then panic. He does come back in, drops in, as you said, and then manages to get it into the back of the net, and that's the game kind of sealed out of two. But yeah, that's the type of performance you're looking more and more from Todd Cantwell. It just needs to, you know, be in there, and I think just needs to settle on that position as well. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Tom Lawrence come the summer. But yeah, listen, there's no doubting, and nobody I think does doubt that Todd Cantwell's a talent. We just need to get the very best out of him. And if we do get the very best out of him consistently, somebody will come in with our checkbook as well.
Yeah.
and it's really there. But yeah, a really, really good player. And when you see him being able to run at defences on the ball like that, that's something he's, you know, at his best. And yeah, and well done for Dessers as well, getting his second and not panicking in the box. But yeah, that's what we need. We need players to step up, and we need players to show that creativity that's been missing in the last two games.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't working for us. And then as Hearts were chasing it, we started to open them up a little bit more, and Dessers could have had that hat trick. So, but yeah, definitely a good performance from Todd Cantwell. Yeah, definitely.
Reece, the importance of that number 10 role in the way that Rangers are playing just now, whether they play this in the next season or not, I think is up for debate. But for the purpose of the way they're playing now, the importance of how that number 10 role links up with everything behind and becomes the key conduit for everything that is down either side and whichever the striker is in front is really, really important. I think we've seen guys playing it. I think we've saw Tom Lawrence playing it recently, and I don't think he's looked that clever in that sort of that 10 off a 9. Cantwell, I think, has really shown what he can do if he plays in that role with a bit of consistency and as involved and gets the opportunity a bit more. He was good today. I think we're now at the stage where we really need him to capitalise on that. So starting again at the weekend in Paisley, another similar performance, and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I think that Cantwell plays as a number 10 as though he's playing in centre midfield. He's tenacious. He'll go third man running. He'll track back. He's got that physicality that I don't think Tom Lawrence has got at the moment. Whether he'll recover it and it's just fatigue, I don't know, but he's been lacking it for a while, to be honest with you. I think Cantwell's just, he's tenacious, and it's why I think it was Aberdeen away last year when we got beat. It was the only time I noticed it, and I always notice it now. If Todd Cantwell gets booked early on, he's terrible after it.
Yeah.
Because he goes, he presses, he'll bite at your ankles, he'll try and get the ball off you, and we press well as a team when Todd Cantwell leads the press. But if he gets booked, it sort of nullifies him.
Yeah.
So that having him in that 10, I like the way that he plays it like a centre midfielder, as I say. Rather than being a flat three, he just notices that he's one up and that he can take it off the left centre mid and just dink it into the right one as though he's playing in a flat line.
Yeah.
Albeit he's obviously in front, but he just knows how to link passes and he's a clever footballer. It's good to have him there.
I think you make up the good point I think you make there is that he is quite a clever footballer. I think that's something that maybe he's not given enough credit for, Tommy, is that I think a lot of people think that because he does all this sort of TikTok stuff and he does all that social media stuff in the background, that he's a bit of I think he is quite a clever footballer. I think he's tried hard to maintain maybe a responsibility that goes alongside his age, but try and learn the game as well, which is probably difficult trying to manage both at the same time. But I just think we've seen a lot of Tom Cantwell today, and I think we saw a version of him that I think is really important that he kicks on from now. Because I think that we have had moments this season where he's looked well off it. I loathe to say he's not looked interested. I don't think that's fair. But there have been moments when he's just not looked at it, and we've had to rely on other guys to try and pull us up by the bootlaces a little bit. And sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. I think if we see this sort of continued approach from Cantwell over the next couple of weeks, then we'll certainly be in a better place come mid-May.
Yeah, I mean, I think his form's dipped at points this season, and that's probably similar to everybody in the squad. I think he's an accomplished footballer. I don't think that's up for debate. I think he is an intelligent footballer as well, and he's got that creative spark. What I really like about him is he works like hell as well. He will track back. He will try and force it. You know, he does put the challenge in. He's deceptively strong. If I think to Matondo's goal in the Old Firm, it's actually Cantwell in the box that holds the defender off and then rolls it back to Lundstrom, who plays it into Matondo and cuts inside. I think as well, we need to remember that for a long time, you know, Reece mentioned it earlier as well, where he was subbed in the European game at Ibrox. He's been asked to play in a position that's not natural to him for a long period of this season to cover, and he did that job as best as he could. As we start to see him playing his natural position, we start to see performances and moments where you go, oh, that's the Todd Cantwell who was quoted at a large, large price tag down south for a long time and teams chased. And if we can rehabilitate him into that level of, again, consistency and performance levels, then we'll get a really good player. He'll help us win things, and then somebody will come in with a big fat checkbook and we'll get a profit on him as well. And I think Todd Cantwell seems really happy at Ibrox and really wants to win as well. And I don't want to walk past Cyril Dessers saying the same thing post-match today. He's like, you know, it's a difficult club, which we all know that. The expectation levels are high, but they're all determined to try and do the best thing they can and try and win things for us. You know, and it was great to actually hear that from Cyril Dessers, who's been through the mill. Actually, we all know that he took it really to heart when at the start of the season where he was getting absolutely slated and stuff like that. So, you know, the players are in there. Todd Cantwell is one of the best footballers in the squad, if not the best footballer in the squad. You could take your pick there, maybe one or two. But, yeah, we just need to see more and more of those levels of performances and then actually getting assists and goals and stuff like that as well. But, I'm a big fan of Todd Cantwell, and I think there's definitely more to come from him.
Tommy, I'll stick with you. The silver chance, are you taking it?
I think anybody and their dog's taking that, to be honest with you. I still don't know what happened. I've seen it, I've watched it again. I think most people in the comments have probably watched it. I don't know if there's some sort of phantom that is on the pitch at Hampden that put a challenger on him or something like that. I think he just gets his feet wrong and he just stumbles and stuff like that as well. It's really unfortunate for the guy because it's a bit comedy. And we can laugh about it now because we won the game and we're through at the final. But, gee, it's pretty brutal stuff, to be honest with you. At first I thought something had maybe he'd injured himself. You know, something's went and he's just decked it because there's nobody near him really and stuff like that. And then you see it's just really... I'm trying to do the guy a favour here and say that he's got his feet in a bit of a time going he's went down, but it looks as though he just ran out of batteries. It just went over, right? And it's just about to get dragged off. So I feel for the guy on a big stage like that, but I only feel for him because we won 2-0 and I can laugh about it. But yeah, a right weird one, in all honesty. Not one he'll want to watch back.
So when I saw it, I thought that I almost thought he was surprised that Dessers cut it back to him when he was on a hat-trick, to be perfectly honest with you. Paul has jumped back and the ball got stuck in between his legs. That's all. That might be true. I would need to see it again. But I genuinely think, Rhys, he was taken by surprise at Dessers squaring the ball to him when he could have had his afternoon all up in lights with a hat-trick at Hampden.
So that, I think, is a... nowhere near anywhere near as good as Fabio Silva, Sunday league player. Like, you do get moments where somebody passes you the ball and you're thinking, what are you doing? Why? But you genuinely just stand there, and it was as if Silva was looking and he just thought, I'm not even dignifying that pass. What are you doing? You just decked that. But I think, honestly, his head was just going quicker than his body. He's switched off or 2-0 up at the time. He thought, right, we're running through and goal. If that's one each, that guarantee he switched on and he'll take it. But because it's 2-0, he's a bit naturally relaxed. He's running right, I hit it, and he's just passed it to him. And he's like, you actually see him, he raises his hands as if, why? But it is comical, and it's an absolute sither, and it doesn't do him any favours considering all the diving allegations for the Old Firm as well.
Yeah, and I think that's actually quite a fair point, because I think Silva, at the moment, isn't getting a great press by a lot of the Rangers fans, by the way, I have to say. I think a lot of us have kind of seen bits and pieces of his game maybe in the last couple of weeks that we've just thought, nah, you're just not going to do for me at all. Arrives in a big sort of blaze of glory, big price tag behind him, which of course he can influence, and he just hasn't cut it. Rhys, it seems like a fair point to, or a fair juncture in the podcast to share the bet that you and I have, which was that since the start of the year, that I said Dessers would score more goals than Silva. I think he's absolutely blew him out the water. There's still time to go yet, of course. But just so that you know, your donation will go to the British Heart Foundation when the time comes, mid-May, okay?
Yep, sounds good. I think there's more chance of me betting on the sun coming up and getting money back than you losing that bet.
It's a shocker. I don't know what you were thinking. I do not know what you're thinking.
I thought in space, we tight games, 35. I seen the price tag. I'll be honest, I seen the price tag.
I seen the price tag. Listen, it's fair. Tommy, I'm not surprised you're shaking your head. It's the youth of the day. What can we do about them?
Do you know, experience is a hard mistress, Reese, and you've learned a lesson there. Never ever look at the price tag unless somebody else is paying. That's probably the thing. But aye, he's not an out and out goal scorer. That's the thing.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tommy, I'll stick with you. Grand scheme of things, performance against Celtic for 45 minutes, pretty rotten. Performance at Dingwall, honking. Performance at Dundee, I wouldn't say much better. Apart from the fact that this was obviously the opportunity for this squad of players to get to their second domestic final of the season, which is a huge deal, and I don't think it's something we should walk by. How important was the win for the set of players, Clamonti's management team, the club, so hierarchy down, and in no order whatsoever, how important was it for the fans to see that these players are getting ourselves together at a really important part of the season now?
Yeah, it's a really good question. That and massively important. So if I take the club and I'll include the squad there, really important to get back on the horse, get back to winning ways, get that second domestic final, and hoping, you know, that that's going to be part of a treble or a cup double or whatever, right? And remembering that six wins sees us take it all, right? Yeah. So yeah, it was, and stopping the rot, right? Because as you said, you know, and I think we can play better than we did today as well. You know, we did give up some chances. I'm not being negative about it. It's all about getting through into the final. Nobody ever remembers the semi-finalists, you know what I mean? So, but coming off the back of two really poor games that we've discussed and everybody's kind of had their say about, it was all about just saying, right, arrest that slide now. We're back to winning ways. Beat the third best team in the country. Right, and saw them off. I think that's like 18 games now that they've not been able to beat us. Hearts, somewhat 17 or 18, right? But yeah, and then you seal that away and you go, right, that's now locked away for the end of the season. We are going to another cup final, an Old Firm cup final, first one in 22 years or whatever it is, right? So that'll be an exciting moment as well. And that could be part of a treble run. Now it's a case of, right, can we just replicate that and build ourselves back into just game by game, trying to get this on. In terms of the players specifically, yeah, they had to see that they could back in and get a win. And in terms of the fans, yeah, absolutely. We had to see this team be able to not bottle it, to say, you know, all their questioning of their mentality and stuff like that, quite rightly to some extent, has been, right, you got yourself into a position of being able to kind of win the title and then you chucked away 5 points. Now we've got a semi-final up against a decent enough Hearts team. What's going to happen here? So at least the fans can say, right, that's been done. Now replicate that. Now get back to winning ways in the league. Show us that we're in for it and make it go all the way. And I mean, I don't think it stops all of the questioning in the background. And some of that will need to be sorted in the summer. We know some of these players are on borrowed time. But right now, they've done what they had to today. Turn up, see off Hearts, get into another cup final, give the fans something to hold on to, then get ready to go again and submit. Because the one thing you can absolutely guarantee on, right, not so much performance for these players or whatever, right, because it's been hot and cold sometimes, but you can guarantee that they'll get fully backed by the fans in every single game. And all we're asking is they give us something to back. And they've went a wee bit down the track today to repairing the problems of the last two games by giving us another cup final. Now take it into the St Mirren game. Now take it for the next six games. Show us where we end up come the end of the season.
Reese, I had a real concern going into this game today because of probably everything that happened midweek. We've read loads on social media, the delight that is social media about, serial losers gets mentioned back and forward. It would have been a disaster if we'd went into this game today without having our eyes on the prize, and it would have been hell of a bad for Philippe Clement if come 5 o'clock this afternoon he was looking at a dressing room of players that hadn't stepped up and hadn't got into that Scottish Cup final today.
So, sort of contradictorily, I think no matter what Philippe Clement does this season, you give him the grace period of it.
Yeah.
If I used a metaphor during the week that I probably won't use on air, but these players have went through 5 managers now. It's not the managers, it's the players.
Yeah.
If to use an example, Scott, if you were to have 5 wives and none of them you settled with, it's not the wives that are the problem. No offence. It was a reverse analogy I used during the week. But anyway, so I think that at this point, you've got
to look at the culprits. Tommy, as a married guy, I totally understand that. And I know you do as well. You won't want to say, but I'll take it. I totally get that.
Yeah, I'm thinking that my wife would probably agree with me being the problem as well, actually, to be told. So, let's swiftly move on before she gets ideas.
Sorry, just carry on.
So I would say it's the same players doing the same things, winning the same square root of nothing that are letting us down every week. And what I kept seeing as well, and as you say, social media can be a bit of a cesspit when Rangers get beat or drop points and improve to be during the week. But one of the key things I found was that a lot of people were saying everything from everyone seemed to apply to the fans, but not the players for the last week and a half or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you're starting to generate that, and like Tommy says, it's a two-way atmosphere there. The fans will quickly turn if it's not going right on the park. The players can become a bit lackadaisical if it's not happening off the park. The effort just naturally isn't there. So it's got to be a two-way thing. And booking yourself a cup final against Celtic, that's going to get everyone right behind the team, no matter what. It just gets that tribal atmosphere going, because it's going to be the last day of the season. It's something to look forward to. There's a cup on the line. Whoever wins it, I believe will win a double, and you go for there.
Yeah, no, and listen, I can't. There's been a couple of comments. Obviously, the marriage thing has stimulated a few of the guys that are watching the podcast, ironically enough, tonight. CGM55, Reese clearly has never been married. I will let Reese answer that, but I suggest you're right.
Been married nine times. That's a real life example that he was giving.
Right, to use another example, this was another one I used as well.
Boy, where's this going to go? Jeez, where's this going?
If 5 doctors can't fix a patient, it's no the doctors. That was my theory as well. Same thing.
I actually preferred the marriage one, to be perfectly honest with you. Listen.
Jot these down. We're going to put these out on social media. Perils of Reese's wisdom. Right.
Goodness me. You should get your show your own, please. Joe 90. Oh, this is actually... Do a silver winner at Parkhead double or quit raising?
I like that. I think you
guys
get involved in that. Just think, Reese, if you've got 5 bets on, and none of them come up, it's not a bets problem.
So to double my stake, I'm taking a 1 out of 11 chance.
Aye.
For a twofold loss. I'll consider it.
I'll let you go and lull over that, Reese. It's a big decision. I don't want you to rush into it. Listen, one of the things that popped into our chat today, from my favourite person in Liverpool, JB, 6 wins and we get the treble. Tommy, where's your mindset right now? Can we win the next 6 games?
Eminently capable of it. Got the players for it. Do we have the consistency, and will we do it? That's the tough question. But yeah, we definitely are able to. I mean, I know people say, well, we haven't beaten Celtic this season, for example, but you know, all those runs come to an end at some point. And what better way to do it than in the league and then in the Old Firm Cup final? So yeah, we can, and we can put ourselves into a place where it's the treble. All rests now on the players' shoulders. That's a good thing, because they could go and make a statement. The worry is we've seen problems with these players when it's all down onto them and the pressure's really on. But yeah, take it game by game. I don't want to sound too much like Philippe Clement here, particularly because my Belgian accent isn't really up to scratch these days. But you just got 6 games. Go out one at a time. Just see if you can win it. Next one. And then there you go. And even take the cup final out of the equation, because all we're talking about is the league games, right? Because that's the one that's still kind of back and forward. The cup final will look after itself. An old firm cup final at the end of the last day, the kind of football calendar looks after itself, right? And you either go in there as wanting to put a marker down and, you know, beat Celtic, who have, you know, pipped us to the league or whatever, or you want to go in there and say, we're going to seal a treble. So you've got some big statements that are inside that cup final already, whatever way it shakes out. Now it's just about saying, right, give me another three points, and let's see what everybody else does around about us. Eminently capable of doing that.
Reece, same question to you. I mean, it's an easy one. 6 games to go, and 6 wins gets you the lot. Now, when you go back to September time, and you're watching Michael Beale atrocity after atrocity, and you're never thinking for a second that you're going to be close to anything like that. At that point, you're probably never thinking you're going to win anything this season. To get to this stage of the season, 5 to go in the league, of course. Everyone a cup final, as I think Todd Cantwell, as I said, has referred to post-match. It's doable. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. I think we could do with a victory at Celtic Park generally to get that monkey off our back, because I think it's something that's levelled against us generally. Can we win the next 6 games, Reece?
I don't believe we will. I think we can, and it might happen. There's a small chance of it. But I've said for a while, I don't think this Rangers team's got an Old Firm win in it, especially not at a full Parkhead.
Yeah.
The real chance to put ground between us was the Old Firm at Ibrox. And to not do it at a full Ibrox, to then show a bit of mental instability, to go to Dundee and Ross County after and drop a bit of points, I think this Rangers team doesn't have it in them, to be totally frank with you. I think maybe in a one-off game in the Scottish Cup final, quite possibly. This team are a cup team. We've seen how well we've done in Europe. We've won the Scottish Cup a few years ago and stuff, so they've got it in them, but I don't think they'll win at Celtic Park, personally.
Scott B makes a really good point as to whether they will drop points, which I think is a fair point. I think it's easy to kind of, you can only focus on what we're going to do, of course we can. But it'll be interesting to see if they do indeed drop points between now and the end of the season. Listen, I'm conscious of time. That is nearly 9:30. It'll just about time for you all to get tucked in. Tommy, you've got a cup of something waiting to get tossed in. What I should say is that it's been really good tonight. Thanks to everyone who's got involved in the chats. We've had people from literally all across the world, which is great. Continue to follow and support us, subscribe, help us grow and get involved. Put your notification bells on so that any time we release any detail, you'll get a wee notification, and you're more than welcome to join the guys and comment as and when we're live. Tommy, thanks for coming on tonight. Always good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Nice chat. I should say I am very aware of the goal difference points. I see a lot of people pointing it out in the chat as well. I know that the goal difference is weighted in their favour, but as Paul says in the chats as well, I'm overdosing in Horlicks here, so at a certain point in time, I can't recall what I've said. So that's it.
Thank you for coming on regardless. It's always good to see you.
Well, you know, sometimes I like to pitch in, take part, then get back out. I only come to see what Reece is going to come out with from an analogy perspective every now and again. Listen, just keeps me engaged.
Tonight has been an absolute cracker from Reece. You always turn up with your nuggets of wisdom, and tonight has been no different. I'm so glad you came on. The analogy about the divorces, you even slated doctor tonight, which I think was incredibly impressive. If you need to go to A&E tonight or at any point this week, you've got no chance, buddy.
I know. I think plenty of nuggets, not so much wisdom.
Always good to have you on, Reece. Good to see you, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Right. Always a pleasure. Thanks very much.
So don't forget, across social media, we're on X and Facebook and Instagram. Search This Is Ibrox and get us followed, subscribe, do everything that we're doing, we're asking you to do. If you do follow our audio channels, we are also available wherever you get your podcast. Check us out there too. And as I say, sort of like, subscribe, tell your pals, check us out, what we're doing. Incredibly, Sunday the 21st of April, there's only about four Sunday sessions of the season left to go, which is... it's quite mad when you think about it. The end of the season is coming. And there's no doubt that between now and mid-May, there will be plenty of twists and turns for us to speak to you about. And we look forward to that as and when they come. Kyle is back on Wednesday with a warm-up from 8:30. Join me if you can. Have a great week. And we're back next weekend. Thanks. Bye for now.
Podcast Network.